Let's Talk Sport with Scott Brown and Nathan Snaid.
Good morning, good morning.
In this show, we're going to give you up-to-minute sports news and coverage, results, highlights, and anything stupid that happens in the weekend world of sport.
That's right. We're going to discuss the victorious results as well as the intricate details of embarrassing blunders. We're also going to point out the rubbish and what could have or should have been done.
Part replay, part comedy, part regurgitation, and I'll be telling the same jokes and stories over and over again. We're the meatheads who make up the Let's Point pod, and we are broadcasting out of the towers of RTL today.
Let's Talk Sport with RTL Today Radio.
Called it Let's Point Pod before, but we're changing our name to Let's Talk Sport.
Can we agree this sort of thing before you do it, before you go off the cuff, you know, not just changing the name? Or I'm going to change the name next week, huh?
Well, RTL, where we are, have proposed that we change the name to Let's Talk Sport.
Right, let's stick with that for now then. As I said, we're going to give you the rundown. Today, we'll look at the major sporting stories from around the world. We're also going to dive into the doping scandal with Camila Valieva. We'll do a local sports roundup as well, and obviously the Six Nations. We're also going to look forward to Le Crunch, which is Walford Ange taking on RCL Rugby Club Luxembourg this weekend, the Lux Cup. Oh, it doesn't get any bigger than that. And finally, we'll have a little roundup from Little Lions and Top Squash. On the subject of Top Squash Nation, you got 30 seconds. Hit me with the squash from the weekend. Go!
Very little squash in the weekend, only a few internal league matches that were played, just a few friendlies, and that's about it. It's a school holiday, so it's quite a quiet week, isn't it?
10 seconds, not bad at all. Right, ready, it's my turn.
Okay,
Little Lions, 30 seconds. Okay, Little Lions, obviously, we had our last one before we take a break next week. A bit fewer numbers, as always, you know, because everyone seems to go skiing in Luxembourg, don't they?
They love it. They love skiing.
But no rest for us. We're into our holiday camp over at Top Squash. Always a success, always lots of numbers, even when it does rain. We'll obviously be launching details about our Easter camp as well. So if you're interested in falling asleep in the car when you get them home, give us a shout. Oh, 29 seconds. Boom.
Let's Talk Sport on RTL Today Radio.
We are live in the studio. So if you want to get involved in the show, please drop us a line through our WhatsApp number, which we have, which is 691-525-5000. We want to hear your opinions and thoughts, so please get in touch.
Scott Brown here, back with Nathan Snaid. We're on Let's Talk Sport live at RTL Radio today. Nathan, you're going to hit us with a rundown from the sporting world this weekend.
I am indeed. Number one is the NFL Super Bowl. So this is for our Texan cowgirl Meredith. Los Angeles Rams beat the Cincinnati Bengals 23-20 in a solid contest.
Sounds like a fix, mate.
I tell you what, I've got one for you. The Bengals, next season, mate, back them.
Yeah.
They're going to go all the way.
You know a bit about NFL, do you?
I know bugger all about the Super Bowl, but it's tipped that these guys are a young side and they are going to go all the way next year. So
we're going to win state, man. We're going to win state. Point two, golf, hit me.
Kiwi Ryan Fox missed his daughter's first steps, but he won the Ras Al Khaimah Classic in the UAE.
Good
by five shots, shooting 22 under par. It's a second PGA victory, but certainly the best of his career.
Good man, good to see the Kiwis get involved in the golf as well.
Do you know
do they do a haka? Do they do a haka after they win?
No, but his old man did a haka. Do you know who his old man is?
Ryan.
Ryan, what's the family name?
Grant Fox. Seriously?
It's his son.
I heard a story about, who was telling me years ago, Grant Fox used to have this little thing when he was playing. You know about if you make mistakes in a game and you try and, you know, if you dwindle on a mistake in a game, normally it affects your game afterwards. And he used to have this thing where he would tap his leg, which was basically like him throwing away the mistake and, you know, carrying on. It's like
okay.
His cue that he
like
used when he was
cue.
Playing. Yeah, interesting that. Grant Fox, quality player. Rugby league.
Do we really want to talk about that?
No,
let's talk about rugby.
Let's go. Tennis.
Argentinian Juan Del Potro, otherwise known as Delpo, has retired from tennis. Do you remember him?
Yep.
Big, tall Argentinian. He actually got to a...
Probably, if he's Argentinian, he's probably a good-looking bloke as well.
Oh.
Mate, did you see, I read this morning about Djokovic coming out as well, about the whole saying he's not going to get vaccinated.
Yeah. His choice, right?
Yeah, it is his choice. But, you know, if them's the rules for Wimbledon, Roland Garros and stuff, then... You won't be playing there. Cheerio.
Talk about rules. Look, just Australia had rules as well, didn't they? Australia's rules were if you're not vaccinated, you can't come into the country. But the issue is that he tried to manipulate around those rules, tried to work around, and that's what, personally, I'm not a fan of. Staying on with tennis, Felix Auger Alassim beat Greek world number 4, Stefanos. Do I always get the hard names to pronounce?
Just put Stefan T.
Stefan T. Tsitsipas. In straight sets, he won his first ATP title at the Rotterdam Open. Now, he went all the way because he actually beat Britain's Cameron Norrie and Andy Murray on the way to the final.
Fair play.
Formula One, Bahrain, they're going to host the Grand Prix until at least 2036.
Ooh, cheddar.
The deal is the longest Formula One deal in history. Bahrain was the first Middle Eastern state to host a race when it made its debut in 2004. Abu Dhabi and Saudi Arabia has since followed. Bahrain will host the season opening race on the 20th of March after Australia was displaced from its traditional slot because of uncertainties over COVID.
Always remember.
I tell you what, the Australians are pretty strict on this COVID thing, aren't they?
Oh, they let Jovac in though, didn't they? Anyway, on to equestrian and football.
But disgraceful, these two. So Mark Todd and West Ham footballer Kurt Zouma have apologised after footage of them both abusing animals, obviously in two separate incidents. Mark Todd was hitting a horse and Zouma was kicking a cat. So
the horse kicked the cat. I shouldn't laugh about that. Go on. Into your football.
Well, the only good one. This is a personal one for me. That Leicester City football manager Brendan Rodgers was left devastated after West Ham scored a goal to equalise in extra time on Sunday.
Are they still top four, looking at a Champions League spot?
No, I think they've just dropped down to fifth. I think Manchester United has jumped above them. Anyway, still a long way to go.
Let's Talk Sport with Scott Brown and Nathan Snaid.
And you're back with Scott and Nathan on Let's Talk Sport on RTL Today Radio.
Today we're going to bounce into the doping scandal, and it's always rife in the world of, elite and high performance sport, isn't it?
Certainly is when it comes to Olympic time, that's for sure.
I don't know if you've read about this, Camila Vaeva, but she got cleared on Monday by the Court of Arbitration to continue competing in the Beijing Olympics despite failing a doping test. And I think what's made worse about all of this is she's only 15.
So she's doping and she's only 15 years old.
I mean, I need to do a little bit more digging about this, but like at the end of the day, as you said, rules is rules. You know, if you break the rules, you're out, irrespective of your age or who you've been ill-advised by. And unfortunately, it's the Russians, but you know, they're not actually allowed to compete as Russia. So they're known as the Russian Olympic Committee, so ROC. So they're not allowed to display any badges or anything on their, on their clothing when they're competing and stuff like that. I'm not even sure about what the story is with the anthem if they win something. Presumably they're not allowed to play that.
No, they're not allowed to.
She is the favourite to win the singles on the Tuesday. So we'll see what happens there. But I know WADA and the IOC have both got involved. Something to do with their whether their coaches, you know, been involved in it previously. We'll have to see. But I remember saying to you before about that Project Icarus, about the doping, the guy who, you know, dopes for the cycling and then digs a little bit deeper.
It's a good doco, isn't it?
Yeah.
It's a very good doco. Interesting, because it comes from a certain angle.
Well, everything's loaded to support your narrative, isn't it?
So. That's right. But, whether you believe it or not, but it's likely to believe it. There was...
There's three versions of every story.
That's right. But they deserve to be punished. I mean, what do you do with a 15-year-old? I mean, who in their right mind is telling her that this is acceptable?
Yeah, exactly. But we will bounce back to that as always, because there'll no doubt be some more doping stories in sport, you know, because it's about how, again, getting the edge, you know. How you can? We talked about Ben Johnson before, but there's always something going on. There's always a new drug, something that's going to try and give you that competitive.
How many
edge,
more
you know?
Days left in the Olympics?
Couldn't tell you, mate.
Yeah.
I want to know how the Jamaican bobsled team are getting on. Anyway,
they did run.
Yeah,
they did run. They finished last.
Cool runnings. Now there's a film.
It's one of the better ones, isn't it?
Do it. Back here, Scott Brown with my colleague Nathan Snaid on Let's Talk Sport. Sorry. We're going to bounce into the local sport and what's going on in the world of Luxembourg at the moment. So Victoria Roush and Charles Gretton set new national records at the indoor meet in Metz. Roush in the 60-metre indoor hurdles and Gretton in the 1500.
Mate, they're going really well, aren't they?
Isn't he?
Hearing a lot
about him. It's good to see. Good to see.
In handball, Luxembourg lost to Italy 28-29 in the World Cup qualifier. It could be. But the Luxembourg, they're in a group with the Faroe Islands, Latvia and Italy. The top two teams of this little mini tournament, or pool, we would say, they will go up into the next round. So good luck, Luxembourg.
The Grand Duke was in Beijing and attended the first race of 16-year-old Gwyneth Terrar. Unfortunately, she missed a couple of gates at the start of her first run. Your favourite. Not table tennis, but...
Deish tennis. Luxembourg's Nizan Lan and Sarah de Noort are ranked number one in Europe. Fair play.
Mate, that's why you get the hard names, because you're good at pronouncing them.
I think I did well there. They have also climbed three places in the latest world rankings, okay? There's seven Asian couples and one South American pair ahead of them.
Well, good luck to them. Good to see them doing well. Bouncing back over to the Winter Olympics again, Mathieu Osch made his first appearance in the giant slalom, and in fairly severe weather conditions. He finished 34th in the first round and then finished up 28th. Mate, they're on a different planet, those boys, firing down that hill, like, aren't they?
Yep. Ridiculous. Like ridiculous ice, speed. Ice. Ridiculous.
Ice and Eskimos and ice.
And that's all we have for the local sport.
Yeah, happy days. We'll bounce back into hopefully have more to talk about next week.
Let's Talk Sport with Scott Brown and Nathan Snaid.
You're back with Scott and Nathan on Let's Talk Sport, RTL Radio. We're going to rip into rugby.
Yeah, we're going to talk about the Six Nations this weekend. I'd just like to point out, Nathan just called me a geek because I can remember the scores from the weekend. It's harsh.
Yeah.
Anyway... First game, Wales-Scotland. I don't know how Wales won that. They just grind you down. I don't even think they played that well, but then Scotland start making errors towards
the end of the
game.
Fair play to Wayne Pivak to turn a team around to get thumped 1 week, and he turned them around week after.
You say that, but let's see where they are at the end of the Six Nations, because they're missing a lot of boys. But I know there's a lot of chat that they're relying on all these old guard at the moment. You know, your likes of your Alan Wynne-Jones is 146, and all these other guys, you know.
He's going pretty well.
So, but yeah, you know, good to put the Scots back in their box as well. Ireland, France. Ooh, mama, it was a good game.
One hell of a game.
Sexton didn't play.
Do you really believe that he was a difference?
I think he does. I think he... maybe the game wouldn't have opened up as much. Do you know what I mean? It might have been a bit tighter. I need to stop clicking the pen. Might have been a bit tighter. But, it looked like France. They just like, it's almost like they just rock up and be like, yeah, we're going to score here. And then they get bored for a bit and then they come back into it. But Ireland did really well to come back into it.
Ireland didn't let loose of that game. It could have been very easy for them to drop their guard, but they didn't.
I've seen Ireland get pumped plenty of times in Paris as well. You let them score a couple of tries and the French get the tails up and it's, you know.
No, I thought I was impressed with Ireland. I know they lost, but I thought they very easy to let that game get ahead of them, and they didn't. They stayed with it. But fair play to France. I guess it's all theirs to lose now, is it? I mean, well, in saying that, the crunch is going to be big, isn't it?
They had to go to Murrayfield. They're that clown of a prop who lamped your bloke and then got sent off, and then, you know, all of a sudden they lose a game that they should on paper win.
Stranger things have happened, let's say. Yeah.
It's a shame.
What about Italy? They played at Stadio. You know,
it's the same every year with Italy. They're being talked about. They're getting better, but there's something...
I still think they're better than last season. Last season they were pants.
Yeah, but what you have to remember is all the other teams get better or adapt their games and stuff, and I don't know.
But Italy are not disgraceful. Last year I thought that their performances were weak. This year, I don't really... I wouldn't say critical that week.
Yeah,
but... I mean, England should have run through them.
Yeah, I mean, but it's... You know, do you want it to be competitive or do you want them to actually start turning over teams? I think the only team they haven't beaten is England, actually, in the Six Nations. I think they've beaten... At some point, they've beaten...
Every other side.
They've beaten every other side.
Marcus Smith.
Oh,
Is he your bank 10?
Good player. I play him at 10, and I play Farrell at 12, and then make your mind up if you want Slade at 13 or Tuilagi.
Tuilagi
just doesn't get any games out of him. Do you know what I mean? Mm. Like, if you go to the next World Cup, I'd be amazed if he plays the whole... He's not going to play, what, 6-7 games, you know, to go far in the tournament. You're going to have to...
He's playing well. He's on Song for Sale at the moment.
Mate, he absolutely cooked. He was playing for Sale against Harlequins, and they have this big number 12, Oosthuizen. Mate, he ate him for breakfast. And he's the big saffer, big bloke. Like, he loves it. Yeah. But yeah, I think they're doing the right thing with Tuilagi, keeping him... getting playing club rugby. Get some games under your belt. You know, you're never 100% fit, but... You know, get him used to playing with the niggles and stuff like that, and getting on with it. But saying that, you know, Eddie Jones, it's, you know, because they lost to Scotland, it's panic stations time, because if they lose another game, if they were to lose in 2 weeks' time, his head will be in
he's
crosshairs, you know.
You think they will keep him for the World Cup?
Well, that's when his contract is, and he's made it abundantly clear that he's going to move on after the World Cup. So we'll
England cannot do with another World Cup for.
He's like Jose Mourinho. He can come in, and Mourinho doesn't stay at clubs for a long time, because he comes in and he brings this structure, and it works for a couple of seasons, but then you need to change it up again. So, you know, he's obviously a very successful coach and that sort of thing. But, you know, has Eddie Jones got to the end of his lifespan? You know,
with England rugby, at least.
Funny, like, I don't know why you'd become a sports coach anyway, because ultimately every job you ever go into, you're walking through the front door and you
leave out the back
or kicked out the back.
Anyway, Le Crunch, mate.
Le Crunch. We don't actually have a name for this, but Le Crunch, we will call it.
Luxembourg Cup. I found out
the Lux Cup. Yeah,
what a boring name.
Yeah, well, actually, if you're listening in and you want to come up with a better name, we will we'll really push it.
Between the foxes and the fairies,
Or the bankers. That's a funny one, actually. A couple of years ago, when we got promoted up to the Bundesliga 1, yeah, we got up into Bundesliga, and the guy would. There's a guy from Total Rugby in Germany, and he would reach out to you all and ask for like a promo, who's fit, who's not fit, blah, 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 blah. And I used to be very PC and be like, squad's looking good. Couple of injuries as always. We wish our opponents the best for the season sort of thing, you know, so don't really give anything away. But who were we playing? We were playing Neckarsulma. Now, they'd thrown some cash around and got a load of Saffas and Aussies and a few English boys over, actually. So they were coming up to us first game of the season, and we had a big crowd up watching. To be honest, that was probably one of the most satisfying cup moments as a coach for me, because we'd done a really good pre-season and we had a very, very strong team out, and we give them a good old bashing.
A real ruffling.
But... And the reason I've gone off on a tangent there is because in their pre-match thing, they just said we're a load of bankers from all around Europe and stuff like that. And then after the game, we're like, ho-ho, not bad for a bunch of bankers, considering most of them were, they're considered as pros. But yeah, obviously, I'll say my bit. I'm obviously weighted towards the blue and white. But I know, Nathan, you reached out to Jonathan Prince to get a bit of intel. Hopefully he gave away some little secrets. Not too much, though.
Well, he didn't really give away too many secrets. I mean, other than the logical ones.
Was he straight bat? Was playing a straight bat?
No, he was very, very respectful of RCL.
Is he involved in RCL back in the day, was he?
Yeah, when he came to Luxembourg, he actually joined the RCL club. Which I asked him why RCL. He said, first of all, he lived close. He worked close to Cessange, so that was the club. But he wanted to come and meet some mates, and rugby was the perfect place to come and do it. So he's got a love affair for RCL, but he's got a very good relationship. He respects his counterpart Johnny Flynn a lot. More so because 2 years ago, RCL and Wolfordonge, they kind of, I wouldn't say share players, but a few of the players from RCL.
So it was like an entente team,
when
they were struggling for numbers.
Struggling for numbers, exactly. So Some of the players went to Volfa, and some of the better Volfa players went to RCL to bolster them in the Bundesliga 1.
Bundesliga 1, Aachen, ja.
For that reason, he has a good, very good relationship with him, and he likes it. But I said that eliminated the Biffo. And he said,
When you say the Biffo, are you talking about the Bagar?
The Bagar. Biffo.
Grand Bagar. Yeah, bring the Biff.
Otherwise, a good old puncher. Yeah. But
a bit of horseplay, huh?
He said that sort of stuff was, that rivalry was probably like 10 years ago. It's not really done now.
No, I think there's a real, traditionally the national team would have been heavily loaded with all the RCL guys. And now there's much more of a mix. And the Wolfer boys are all, they're all good boys. You know, we're all cut from the same cloth. Do you know what I mean? I think it's more.
But boys will be boys, though.
Oh, touché.
I mean, and we want two brothers on opposite side. That would be the ultimate, wouldn't it? One brother, the older brother for Wolfer and the younger brother at RCL. And at the bottom of the ruck, you want to see.
See, the closest thing you could probably get to that is if you could drag Sean Carroll out and get him and Liam to have a little ding-dong
At Liam. Pitch.
Yeah, that'd be quite funny to watch, actually.
Oh, yes.
But that's not happening this year anyway. But go on, sorry.
They've never actually won. Volfer have never won.
No, I'll jump in because I actually spoke to John. Yeah, John Flynn. Okay, so I asked him a few questions. So we'll bounce back and forth here.
Okay, go on.
So I'll just do my impression of John here. Okay, guys. Yeah, it's pretty good. Okay, so I spoke to John, and he first played in the Lux Cup in 2001. Obviously, he won the match, and he said it was always a nice end-of-season runabout. The trouble we have at the moment is being in the Bundesliga is you don't play a great deal of games throughout the season. You know, it's not... You don't get used to jumping around 20, 25 times a season or anything like that. We only play 14 league games in the year. Of which probably only half of them are genuinely competitive, you know, because if you're playing your Frankfurts and your Hanschusheims and stuff, it can be tough. But back to you, mate.
Well, did John Flynn, first of all, did he play fullback in 2001?
I doubt that very much, Nathan. I think John's always been a Dusi Emlinia, as they like to say, or as Giorgio Marcelona would say, he'd always be first guard, you know, closest to the ruck. Nothing gets through him.
Well, I'm going to give you one bit of advice, is don't wear your moulded shoes. But rumour has it that the Wolfer pitch will be flooded on Thursday night.
This information's
Friday
been leaked.
Night,
leaked
Friday
to the press.
Night,
yeah.
All the youth players, second team. In fact, they're going to have a local soiree on the pitch the night before.
Nice.
It's going to be a bog hole. So the local Pompey is going to go down there. They're going to completely flood the pitch.
I still maintain that I should be able to come off the pitch with clean kit after the game. So hopefully we'll stick to that. Yeah, as I said, I proposed the same question to John about the pitch being flooded. And John responded and said to me, Wolfelonge as a club is renowned for flowing and running rugby. Not many know this, but there's a famous phrase from the stands down in Wolfelonge called jouer, you know, just let the boys play, let the boys play. The pitch is always, to use the Luxembourgish term, is always in tip-top condition. So he's really looking forward to it. Back to you, Nathan.
Another interesting one for you. A kicking tee was once hidden in a match.
Oh, mate, let me get into this. This is gold. So the second, just to give you a bit of context, the first RCL's first team playing the first division, Wolfelonge playing the second division, and maybe 2 years ago, Wolfelonge moved. They used to play in Belgium, so they moved over to the German leagues, and obviously had to start at the bottom. Now, let's just give this some context. It's not like starting at the bottom of the national leagues in the UK. There's only three tiers, but you play in the more regional leagues, which they won quite comfortably. But they actually played against RCL's second team a number of times, and yeah, I think beat them 5 out of 6 times over a couple of seasons, whatever it turned out to be. But in one such game down at Wolfelonge, we were coming back with the first team, and there was all these messages going around the WhatsApp group that the kicking tee for RCL had been hidden by the Wolfelonge coach. And I asked John about this You know, whether he expected this sort of carry on at the weekend. And yeah, he's told me he went to one away match with Walford on several years ago, and they had no medical bag, no kicking tee, no rugby balls, no water bottles, no physio. You know, so if it wasn't a case of stealing it, they were probably just using it themselves. You know, but yeah, that was gold. Especially, you know, when you hear when all the information starts dribbling through. Oh, apparently they hid the. Apparently they hid the kicking tee and all this sort of thing. So might have to go back to old school, actually. You know, just stick the heel in the ground and stick it in the ground. As you say, if it's going to be a bog down there tomorrow, then...
A proper heel in the turf.
Yeah.
I asked him if he's got any big words for Johnny Flynn. I was hoping for some WWF style. We're gonna do you, man. You know, but there was nothing.
They don't like it up him.
Yeah, no, there was nothing. He said, listen, John's done really good work for Luxembourg. He gave us a hand when he was the national coach, and he has the utmost respect for him. And he just welcomes him for a beer before the match, bring his team along, start celebrating like you won before the game.
Touché. So, love that. Some of the current national team have played a bit longer, so have played at the old stadium, played at Walford Orange, played at RCL, and I actually proposed to him whether it's something the FLR could look to do is to get the match played at the national stadium, you know, maybe next time around. John said he thinks this would be a nice, really nice gesture for both players and volunteers. And all the spectators from both clubs that would recognise all their commitment, and it'd be a great way to reward them. But unfortunately, we'll have to make do with Walford Orange this weekend. But that's something maybe we could try and push a bit more openly on here. Is I think that'd be an awesome experience because, yes, you know, the Lux Cup won't be the greatest standard of rugby, but the whole point is to ultimately, you know, this is why you and I started talking. Starting up the podcast and moving on to something.
It'll grow the game.
Is to get more people involved in sport. And, you know...
It'll grow the game.
It's funny when you talk about you... And I was reading an article about... I was listening to the podcast, the Rugby Pod, and they were talking to a guy called Darcy Graham, who's the Scottish winger, the one with horrible, horrible footwork, set up that cracking try against England.
Yep.
And he said all he ever wanted to do was play for the first team at his local club, you know, at Hoyk. Yep. And that's what you want to get. And it's not, I think there's too much of it at the moment where, oh, I'm going to get my kid playing football so he can be the next superstar. It's get your kid playing football, get him down watching the local guys.
The opportunity for the ball boys, yep. The opportunities for the medics, the physios, they're all down in the stadium.
Absolutely.
It'll make the cup a lot, let's say, a lot more prestigious than what it is at the moment, one would say. And it's and for the fans, I mean, you put one fans on one side of the stadium, fans on the other, you get your dancing girls out. I tell you what,
that's
a promotion of sport.
Let's do it next year. It's funny because we were actually talking to the top dog here about Luxembourgish football, how unfortunately, because there's that real pressure to try and play at the highest level and compete. And we were talking about how, you know, all these clubs strive to play at the top level. Rightly so. You know, you want to test yourself. But unfortunately, now with money being involved, you can bring players in. So there's less of a focus on the youth coming through. So how many teams can you go down and watch the first team play where the vast majority have come through the youth? You know, unfortunately, you just can't get to the top level anymore. So
exactly, because you want to go down to the game and you want to go and watch your mate, your neighbour, your uncle Bill,
your teacher,
you know?
Your teacher playing for
absolutely.
The club or the local policeman or something like that.
That's what gets bums on seats in local sport.
100%, 100%. And it's funny, John will actually remember this. So we were when we went to. We went to Sweden, and this was actually John's last game as a national team coach, and we beat Sweden 13-0 away in Malmo. Unreal. Like, one of the best games we played in. Massive win. Massive soiree afterwards. And we were in this... again, when we have these national team games, obviously, if you win... Great buzz, go out, have a few beers afterwards. Now, you speak to a few of the senior boys and be like, what's the story here? We'll arrange something. Because in Sweden, you have to be 21. The drinking age is 21. So we'd contacted a few bars and stuff, and we'd arranged to go to one place. I think it was an Irish bar or something in the main square in Malmo. So we all got in there, great crack. The supporters club were over, they joined us as well. Rodelaif, I'm not sure if they're still going at the moment, actually. We've gone, we're in here, and there's actually, there was a shirt on the wall, and it was a Celtic shirt, and it's from the year that Celtic won the European Cup. It's got to be, I don't know, 70s, maybe? And basically, John was explaining to me that it's a rare instance where the vast majority of that team are from Glasgow and have sort of come through the ranks and are now playing in the football team. Unfortunately, that just won't happen anymore. You'll very rarely get, every now and again, you'll get a good crop of academy boys. Someone like Saracens back in the day, they had that good six or seven guys, Johan Farrells, Jamie Georges, Mario Tojes, all these boys coming through. But you're just never going to get it at the top level. You're never going to get it where you've got local lads playing playing for the first team. Maybe with someone like Exeter Chiefs, they have a good thing at the going. You know, they've got all the Cornish boys, they all obviously push to try and play for the Chiefs and stuff. But yeah, as I say, it was
going to get bums on.
Yeah, exactly.
It's going to get bums on. See, I just think it would be a phenomenal pull. We will do what we can try and do to talk it up, that's for sure.
But, my man, that is it for this week, isn't
well,
it?
Well,
have you got any bit?
Did you ask Big John about socks up or socks down?
I didn't. Livid. What did this John is the most say? What, the amateur. We're going to have to cancel the podcast. I can't do it now.
Okay, what do you think he said?
He looks like a back, so I'm going socks up.
Yeah, he's way too posh.
Yeah, John.
Socks up. He also, I informed him that we had spoke to Will Skelton, and Will said definitely socks down because his calves were too large, and he said, well, you know the size of my leg, so I'm definitely a socks up. I'm a posh man.
I'm going to make up a blatant lie here about John. So John said that he actually normally wore ankle socks because he actually used to wear the big Mizuno high tops, you know, the ones that go like halfway up the leg, the big Mizunos and stuff. And so, yeah, when he says once you're rolling around in the mud, the socks don't make any difference.
With two-inch studs.
Yeah.
And
welcome to Scotland.
Well, I'm going to try and get down there for the game anyway, Scott. There'll be a bare pitch side, I'm informed, under the boffy stand. In fact, there's probably going to be more punters under the tent than they were watching the game, but it'll be certainly good for the Volfer Foxes' finances.
Well, you know, hopefully there is a bit of bagar, be it in the match or on the sidelines. It'll be good to see some old faces. I know.
I'll turn my head for it.
Yeah, the old guard will all get down there, but hopefully we'll have some good stories to tell, as always, and it'll be good to get some rugby under the belt, actually, because middle of Feb, most of us haven't played, but. On that bombshell, this is Scott Brown and Nathan Snaid on Let's Talk Sport rounding off this week. We hope to hear from you. As always, get in touch with us on social media.
Thanks for tuning in.
And take it easy.
Cheer.
Let's Talk Sport with Scott Brown and Nathan Snaid.